Heavenly Father, be with us this evening as we continue to create opportunities to strengthen the future of our educational community. Be with us in our shared endeavors to act responsibly, communicate respectfully, and collaborate effectively. We pray our efforts will continue to contribute to a brighter future for all. Thank you for your guidance and support in our conversation. In your name we pray.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Bob. All right, now it's public comment. Mr. Prouty.
We have six individuals signed up for public comment,
all right,
Mr. Chairman.
All right, so public comment, remember, keep it to 3 minutes. And Mr. Prouty runs a sharp timer.
The duck will sound.
All right, Kristen?
Kristen, please state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Hello? Kristen Zaborski, 8224 Constance Drive, Sarasota, Florida, 34243. Good evening, everyone. My name is Kristen Zaborski, and I'm Professor of Economics and Department Chair of the Business Department for the Bradenton, Lakewood Ranch, and Venice campus. In my 15 years working at SCF, I've served on a total of 10 faculty search committees, two of which I have chaired. Why am I sharing this with you? Because I want you to be aware of the difficulty academic divisions are having when it comes to hiring and retaining faculty. To put things into perspective, the Faculty Search Committee is responsible for screening faculty to ensure that applicants not only meet our educational requirements and have teaching experience, but who are willing to accept the faculty-based salary currently offered at SCF. 10 years ago, we could expect anywhere from 40 to 50 applicants to apply for our accounting and economics full-time teaching positions. Today, that number is far less. Of an applicant pool of 20 or less, 95% of those who apply today have a minimum salary expectation of $75,000 to $125,000 per year. So, SCF continues to compensate the faculty below market rate. This contributes to the college's reputation for not paying well, which is problematic because we are unable to attract talent. Our options are becoming increasingly limited in terms of providing our students with the quality of education they deserve. In my 15 years working at the college, not only have I had the opportunity to work on all three campuses, but I've had the opportunity to connect with and befriend many faculty from various disciplines. Honestly, I cannot recall a time when morale was this low. Faculty are burned out, yet we continue to show up for our students in this institution. I'm afraid that if this trend of compensating faculty below market rate continues in the future, we will lose faculty without the ability to replace them, at which point there will be no faculty to teach students, regardless of how much effort and resources the college puts into increasing enrollment. I cannot offer the faculty more compensation, but you can. Thank you for your time and consideration regarding this important topic.
Thank you, Kristen. Anno?
Anna Ozeleska, 7105 Alderwood Drive, Sarasota, Florida, 34243. Good evening. My name is Anna Ozeleska, and I'm the math department chair on the Bradenton campus, as well as the chair of search committee for three open faculty positions for our department. I want to communicate the difficulty we're having with attracting and retaining new faculty members. We have quite a few applicants who are teaching at public high schools in Sarasota and Manatee, and they would face a substantial pay cut of more than $20,000 by accepting a full-time position at SCF. We require prospective hires to have a master's and doctorate degree in mathematics and statistics. In other words, these people are highly educated. The disparity between our job requirement and our base salary is staggering, not only compared to our local high schools, but also to other industries. Recently, we lost an excellent statistics instructor who accepted a position as a statistical consultant with an entry salary that was double what he was paid at SCF. My current hope is that we can lock into a recent graduate with high potential who is willing to accept such a low starting salary. We're all smart people here, and we can pretend to wonder why we're struggling to attract and retain new faculty. But the answer is obvious. Our recent hires who have remained and flourished in the SCF Bradenton math department all have something in common. They all have local family connection to our area and seem to tolerate the lower pay for the trade-off of being closer to family. We have talented, hardworking faculty, but I worry that our luck will run out. Over the next 3 years, we will need to hire 6 new faculty members. As we can see, we will need a lot of luck. Without our ability to attract talented new faculty with reasonable starting salaries, I don't see how we can continue to attract and retain our students. We're not asking for excessively high salaries, just to compensate at the level where a high school teacher would not consider working at our college to be a downgrade. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Colleen?
Sure. Good evening, everybody. My name is Colleen Page, 6960 White Willow Court, Sarasota, Florida, 34243. I teach public speaking at SCF. Good evening, board members. I would like to take a moment to brief you on an important study regarding faculty compensation, which was completed a little over a year ago by Evergreen Solutions, LLC, a third-party consulting firm. I'm not sure if you're already familiar with it and its findings, so I'll highlight a few key points to ensure you're well informed. A copy of the study will be emailed to your SCF email for your review at your convenience. So key points of the study. The compensation study included compensation data from 14 colleges, including St. Petersburg College, and this is referenced on page 3 of the report. These institutions that SCF competes with in terms of recruiting faculty talent. One of the purposes of the compensation study was to determine compensation practices of employers within the Florida upper education market. The study identifies 3 primary levels of faculty compensation, which are roughly aligned with the following roles at SCF. Master's degree corresponds to the SCF instructor and assistant professor roles. Master's plus 30 aligns with SCF's associate professor role. And doctorate degree corresponds to SCF's professor role. This study includes a detailed comparison of St. Petersburg College's compensation relative to the market, which can be found on page 5 of the report. This provides valuable insight into how SCF's compensation compares to peer institutions in the region. The study also outlines proposed pay plans for faculty based on credit hours taught, specifically 30, 36, and 42 credit hour faculty. However, since SCF only employs faculty with at least a master's degree, the proposed pay plans for F2 and F3 levels are most relevant to us at SCF. This information can be found on page 8 of the report for further details. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda?
Last time I handed these out at the end, and you guys can look at them now or at the end.
My name is Linda McKeag, 9822 Kernisty Place, Bradenton, 34211. Most people struggle to interpret financial data. My presentation aims to make this information clearer and easier to understand. I have provided you with 3 sets of data and will explain one in detail so you can interpret the others. The data compares market salaries from the St. Petersburg Market Study with 3 groups of comparable SCF categories. I will refer to the St. Petersburg Market Study as the broader market. Looking at the SPMS market data for 30 credit hours and how it compares to SCS instructor and assistant professor levels, the top page for you. Here are the key points. At the 90th percentile, what this means, at SCF, the top 10% of instructor and assistant professor faculty earn around $56,900 a year. However, in the broader market, the top 10% of instructor and assistant professor faculty earn about $71,215 a year. Summarizing, SCF's top paid instructors and assistant professor faculty earn significantly less, more than $14,000 or 25.2% less on an annual basis than sister colleges in the area. The 75th percentile data. At SCF, the top 25% of instructor and assistant professor faculty earn about $54,000 a year. However, in the broader market, the top 25% of instructor and assistant professor faculty earn about $65,500 a year. Summarizing, SCF's top paid instructor and assistant professor faculty earn significantly less, more than $11,500 or 21.2% on an annual basis than their sister colleges in the area. Key takeaways. SCF salaries are significantly lower than the market across all percentiles, with differences ranging from 19.8% to 25.2%. This is a clear indication SCF is lagging behind market standards for this group of faculty. Second, the large salary gaps pose significant challenges in recruiting and retaining qualified faculty. Third, the data suggests salary compression, which is where experienced or higher performing faculty are not being compensated at higher levels than less experienced peers. This negatively impacts faculty morale and motivation. Each of the remaining 2 categories have similar information for you to review. The last point I'd like to make is on page 9 of the Evergreen SPMS study that Colleen referred to earlier. In the second paragraph, zone-based placement approach, it recommends hard-to-fill positions should be paid a 10% supplement on top of faculty-based salaries as an incentive to attract and retain faculty. SCF Article 25.4.C of the union agreement allows the president to author higher pay rates for hard-to-fill positions, but this provision has been underutilized or overlooked in many cases. I did that all in like 2 minutes. I'm really proud of myself.
3 minutes.
Was it that?
3.
My timer didn't work. My timer.
Still good though.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's really hard to get through those numbers and make them mean something.
Jennifer Beeslin, and my address is 3621 Avenida Madeira, Bradenton, Florida, 34210. Okay, so just to piggyback off of what Linda and Colleen said, we use St. Pete College because we're building Parrish, and they're in their backyard, and when we're trying to recruit faculty and people are looking, where do you want to go to? St. Pete College, Bradenton, Sarasota, cost of living is very similar, so that's in part why we use St. Pete College. And as a side note, they just recently got between 10 and 40% in salary increases. So, but what I've come here tonight is to ask you to put people over projects. As a board, you recently approved a little over $8 million, and from that was taken from unrestricted funds that by law can be used to increase faculty salaries. That money was moved over into restricted funds that cannot be used for faculty salaries. Instead, we were told that that money was used for the parish project. It was used for hurricane restoration and for flooring and furniture. And I ask, are we not more integral to this college than flooring and furniture? It was really a kind of a gut blow when we learned this information. We were pretty dumbfounded, a little over $8 million being moved, especially since there have been title changes with staff and admin, and with these new titles came new salaries, higher salaries, and at least one or two with $20,000, an increase in their salary with this new title change. So that was really tough to swallow. So we as an institution must invest in our phenomenal, when I say phenomenal, phenomenal faculty that we have here that are committed to our students. For far too many years, our past college president said, we've gone under budget, and said that with pride. Well, and then she said, we're punished for it. Tallahassee is punishing us for going under budget. And we were punished, all of us. Students were punished, staff was punished, faculty were punished as well. Our students deserve better. We all deserve better. You already know we're bleeding faculty in my department, which is language and literature. I also teach speech communication. Four new lines. I think in science, four new lines. It's a serious threat to this institution, the recruitment issue and the retention issue. Serious threat to our students. What will happen when our students cannot get an anatomy and physiology class? What will happen when they can't get a statistics class? What will happen when they cannot get an English class that they need to get their AA degree? It's a threat. We must invest in our faculty. As we know, we have amazing faculty and we have phenomenal students. And as you'll see tonight, our students have the most to gain from earning a college education, and they have the most to lose from not earning a college degree or a certificate. As you plan for the future of this institution, be it budget or otherwise, please do the right thing by our students by doing the right thing by our faculty.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Kathleen?
Kathleen or Kathleen?
Catherine.
Catherine. Sorry.
That's the team. It's okay.
The R looks like an N.
Sorry, it was the pen. Catherine Missouri. I am 207 32nd Street West, Bradenton, Florida, 34205. I'm the closer. So I'd like to preface by saying I would not attempt to speak for all faculty, as we are a varied bunch of humans. I can report my own experience from the field. Students who are ready to learn are showing up, and the college is bustling with energy as we embrace the culture of everyone's college. We are learning about AI, how to embed multidisciplinary career awareness in our courses, and working with each other to make sure that we seek the mission of the college to retain and graduate our students. They need interaction with us, with each other, and hands-on experiential learning, in addition to what we can provide with technology. Our faculty, we need support in these endeavors. I read through the packets to prepare for tonight and saw my colleague, Brenda Harrison, also my neighbor, longtime adjunct, just hired in as a full-time faculty member. It wasn't easy. It's a big negotiating process to get us to a living wage. You're going to be captivated when you see what she brings to this table. But for me, I want to direct you and your attention as you leave tonight to the newly installed student artwork right outside our boardroom in the three-dimensional cabinet, I'm going to call it. Art is fascinating to me because it is a place where you can see for yourself. If you allow it, you can see the effort that comes from transforming ideas, invisible, into something real. That's the magic of our classrooms and labs at SEF. There is hope in those rooms and much determination. I want to end with an ask. to everybody in the room, really, to consider immediate action to help us retain the excellent faculty we have and recruit the faculty we need to move into the future together. I'm more committed than ever to being united with the people that I work with on this campus, in all divisions, departments, everywhere I go. And respectfully, I thank you very much.
Thank you. That is the end of our public comments. President Gregory, your report.
Thank you, Chairman. First, let me say that for the six faculty members that we just heard from, a couple of things. One, I've met with each of them individually already, and I appreciate them reaching out to me and taking time to come explain these issues to me more fully. I really appreciate that. But let me say more fundamentally, and I can really go back to Dr. Rand, who has been on a listening tour for a year. She's been here for about a year, and I've been here about 6 months. And one thing that they didn't say, and I want to make sure that it's conveyed to you, and we heard it from them in our discussions with them, is that they have a heart for these students. Each of the six that you heard from, and the rest of the faculty that you didn't hear from. So they're bringing to you and to all of us their concerns. We recognize those concerns. They're legitimate concerns, as we've talked about at past meetings, in terms of compensation and our ability to recruit and retain talented professors. But that hasn't stopped their performance in the classroom and their heart for teaching. So we appreciate that that hasn't been the case. We do know that there's work to be done here. We're committed to doing that work, and I think that comparing us to our peers is a good idea because it illustrates the point that all the board members know, and that is we've got to have more recurring funding. Our peer colleges are on average $17 million a year more in recurring funding. So we've got to go in there united with each of our legislators from this area and convince them over the next few years to help us catch up to the St. Pete colleges and all of our competitors who are competing for talented faculty to come in and keep the great tradition of SCM going. Speaking of Dr. Rand, for those of you on the board who haven't met Dr. Rand before, as I said, she's been here about a year. She is the interim provost. She's done a fabulous job in a couple of months. She's been in that role since Dr. Fritsch left us for the university president's job. And so I just want to take a moment to say welcome, Dr. Rand. We're so glad to have you on the team and appreciate what you've done so far and look forward to having you in that position. And for the immediate future, Dr. Rand is the interim provost. In the longer-term future, we are, of course, going to hire a firm. We're going to do a national search for that position, who is our chief academic officer, and of course faculty have a critical voice in that role as well, making sure that we have the right leadership and the positions at the college is an important consideration for each of us, and same thing for Ms. Julie Jakeway. Everyone in the room knows now, I think, that unfortunately she'll be retiring at some point this year, and we keep trying to convince her to stay on a little bit longer, but she will be leaving us, so we'll same thing. We'll have a firm, we'll do a national search, and we'll try to replace these two talented people. So other than that, I'll just say that it's an interesting time in Florida. As we talk about recurring dollars, you can see the difficulties they're having in the special session. Right now, they're now on their second special session of the week already, and it reminds me of what I said earlier. We've got to be united as a team. We have to send a good, consistent message, even though we know we're struggling and need those recurring dollars. It's important in how we convey the message to our legislative delegation. So I'll be working on that with each of you and asking for help from anybody and everybody in this room to explain why we need those dollars or what we'll do with them to serve the students in this region. With that, Chairman, back to you.
Thank you.
Well, I can speak for myself as a trustee. I'm happy to travel with you to Tallahassee at the appropriate time and speak Great. With some people up there.
I'm available too.
Good deal. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, next is our SCF mission moment. Brenda, would you please come up and introduce your speaker?
Sure. Do you also need my address?
No. But you're welcome.
Oh, it's all right. Hi, everybody. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to brag about our students. I hope you'll learn a lot about our art, design, humanities here at State College of Florida. So who am I? I'm Brenda Harrison. I've been an assistant professor here for, this will be my fourth semester, but I've been here doing curriculum and adjunct for about 15 years. I specialize in a pretty diverse visual arts arena, a lot of commercial art. I was a medical illustrator, trained medical illustrator, so I've got a lot of publication work behind me, did a lot of that from the beginning of my career, and have done a lot of different things. This is just a few. Interactive gaming with Dallas Museum of Nature and Science for like a kids exhibit, worked with Manatee County Government. Some of my calendars have been in your office in the past, and most recently with DeSoto Historical Society on a rebrand. So why art at all? But why art at State College of Florida, right? I think the biggest thing of why to do art at State College of Florida is our pricing. We are truly a fraction of the price. And for art, that's one thing. When you look down the street at Ringling, it's $15,000 for a course. We're talking $300 for them to take a comparable course here that we've worked really hard to compare to. We get a lot of those Ringling students coming over to take our courses. We've got tons of flexibility. They're not stuck taking these 9-to-5 classes. We have amazing, as you've heard, professors that are here for the right reasons that put so much extra time and love and energy into the students and bring a lot of career experience to the classroom and to these students and their degrees. We've built up a lot of internships with local businesses that they take advantage of. We're not just applicable to what we often call the traditional students, those 18-year-olds, but we have a ton of what I like to call continuing education, the ones that are coming for the second. They're hiding behind all the money that they've saved. So, and we're in demand. I'm going to show you that because I think we get, you know, you get forget about some of the things we can do. So there's a lot of demand, which leads me right to, is there demand? Because isn't AI taking over? I think we're all hearing that, right? Like, I'm going to lose my job. The other artists might not even have jobs. It can do that for them. I can't. It's not taking over. And let me show you some of the things. At State College of Florida in graphic design, we're not just teaching them to change out some text and swap in pictures. We're not teaching them how to prompt AI for their final results. We're teaching them how to create professionals, how to distinguish themselves from amateurs by really diving into strategy and the application of that strategy. There's a lot that goes on. We dive into target audience. Is it little kids behind a computer screen? Is it a retiree behind a newspaper? That's two different things, and we're teaching them how to do that. We dive into budget, whether it's the tiny mom and pop store. Most of the work you're going to see in this is student projects. So this is integrated. We've integrated that into the curriculum, sometimes with real-world experience, sometimes it's a project. So they went out. She took this picture. That's her own photograph. She went to the mom and pop food, she took the photograph, she came back, we developed the work. Or do they have really big budgets? They learn how to do the 10,000 rack cards and what that means different than working with that small mom and pop store. We dive into application, they learn about packaging, how to make the soda can stand out on the shelf next to the 75 other soda cans. They then create their actual packaging also, which is really fun. In the 3D world, or is it digital and how to take it up a notch from all the social media posts everywhere clogging our feeds? How do they take it up a notch? And you'll see a lot of these. We also do a show, so a lot of them have won awards. And again, ooh, and I'm forgetting every once in a while, these are all student work. This is students that are currently, a lot of them that are currently in our program. We dive into branding. They create branding from the ground up, and then they also learn how to step into existing brands. So they've got diversity in how they're going to apply that. And then we show them how to apply it, how to actually use the different tools that we have as digital artists. So contrast, this, oh, some of you pointed out my Fibonacci spiral. This is it, I forgot it was even in here. But Nina DeLorenzo, that won the last President's Award at our student gallery, working with some of our beautiful tablets. These are such a treat. We're moving stop these two down the street, just as we do right here at SCF. Yeah. We talk about, oh, and mailers. They're learning such a dive. They're not coming in and doing 2 years of flyers. They're learning the diverse options that they can do. They learn about repetition. One of my favorite projects with student Sean Conley in the back, where we not only give them a challenge, but we were so lucky to get to do this one with President Gregory on his first semester here at the college. He handed us a tiny little graph, and an entire class got to not only do an exploratory meeting with him, but also develop art. And what's really fun with this one was, so every pixel is hand done. They are not doing these by templates. This could be the silhouette of you, President Gregory. It could be anything, because they're doing every little piece of this. So this actually collaborated with a couple of students, which was really fun. We get into repetition of doing signage. Sometimes you forget someone has thought about that beautiful signage and actually sat behind a computer and done it. We work into alignment. There's so many ways you could talk about alignment, but also how to align pieces, diverse pieces of campaigns across the board for all of these aspects. We talk about proximity, because spacing matters, right? Our distance to things really make a difference. Again, I'm always so proud of our animation for that little $300. They're diving into this Flickr animation. It really pops. It's fun. We talk about balance and weight. Another, every one of the pieces is some of my favorites. So you might hear me say that a few times. But Sarah Collins, she's a local right now. She graduated from our program a few years ago, and she developed this. She wrote and illustrated the entire book based off of her degree from here. And when I talk about balance, this parrot is not randomly placed there on the opposite side as this butterfly for no reason. When it's done right, you barely even notice it's happening. She's got multiple books and Amazon reviews for a reason. Visual hierarchy, one of my favorite. How do we take something crazy because we want to fill every single area and turn it into something really beautiful that translates a message and turns into higher ROIs? And visual hierarchy and web, we have an entire web certificate, a web 1, 2, and 3, that an adjunct, not even a full-time faculty, has crossed that over into 26 West with the Coding Academy, and great success. Actually, I think Sean's going to head there at 6:30, aren't you? He's got class over there in Coding Academy. So they learn about the UX, UI design, how to create visual hierarchy and web, and what that can translate to. And then, another one of my favorites, the storytelling. So I'll just let this one play out. They do multimedia, so whether it's going to be a poster or whether it's going to be a tiny little animated GIF on the sidebar of a website, and they learn how to do that in these courses here. And they learn how to do every little piece, like I said, by themselves. They are illustrating every highlight. They are putting in every single scale. And then they are taking the whole thing to life in a story and really bringing these pieces to life using many techniques. Animation and motion graphic is one of them, but there's so many other ways that we teach them. So it makes it really fun. And she also won an award at our student show. So the more skills you have, the more opportunities you can create for yourself. And what does that mean for us? So I'm not just talking about graphic design, but I really think our entire arts program is kind of amazing. I only do what I can do because I have amazing counterparts that I get to work with and my students get to work with. So we've got the most fun dark room. Our photography department, Eska Palmer, she just got a $250,000 grant for her students for the finest equipment they could ever get their hands on. They will not even touch that kind of equipment at Ringling, I am certain. We've got the fine art, whether it's going to be learning about a gallery and putting in your own gallery, running your own gallery, or also how does that fine art foundation translate into the photograph and into the final piece. They're not filling templates, they're creating it on their own from scratch. And the 3D, we're not throwing pots for craft and hobby sake. These things are tangible. How can they make these the products on the shelf if they don't understand the 3D? That's my small connection to that. But it's valuable lessons in ratios, measurements, critical thinking. I always go to prosthetics because I'm a medical illustrator. How can you do, you know, a matching hand if you don't understand form and volume? And we're so lucky we have Lee Bell, who's a featured sculptor across the entire Southeast region of the country as an adjunct teaching these students, bringing this to them all over the place right now. We're hoping to get in Tallahassee soon and maybe a picture. And film. Our students are learning how to hop right into SNN, ABC, the local stations, or go up into Tampa and work for these places. They're filming here, they're filming there. They have entire filming station here, right above the library. It's amazing equipment with the things that they can do. And our humanities. And we could go on and on about all of these. I know I only get a few minutes. But my most simple version of saying the robust amount of humanities and how that connects back to my art, but it connects the past, the present, and the future to your decision making. How can you be an architect if you never studied the Greek columns? That's the most simple version of that. So I go back to graphic design. Lots of people can move pixels. They can change text. They can call themselves designers. Artificial intelligence can try to hop in and try to steal my job. It's not going to necessarily work. We're teaching them how to target their audience. We're teaching them how to maximize their ROI. They're teaching them how to optimize the many, many outlets that their art form can go out into, stay true to their clients' brands or blueprints, and properly develop these communicative designs, what I call like the psychology and the science behind really good design. Just a few of the places. They're not called graphic designers anymore. They're package designers, game designers, illustrators, brand managers. I get a ton of people in second careers coming through as entrepreneurs wanting to understand how to run their own marketing. And our $6,000 for that entire AS degree, that's if they have no credits coming in extra, they can do a lot with that as entrepreneurs. The opportunities really are completely open. They can run their own businesses, or they can hop into many, many of the local businesses. This is just a few of our local graduates that I just grabbed from my own LinkedIn. There's so many, I didn't even really dive into the research. So there's so many outlets for them to utilize the skills they're using here out in a successful career. So thank you so much for letting me brag about our arts here at the college. It's interesting questions.
I have a question. So, obviously, that last slide you had those are former students that are now out working, and they're designing that. But some of the other stuff we saw, do we ever do projects for existing businesses, companies, whatever?
We have the opportunity to. We would love to. I think that that's something we need to get into. Currently, what I think we're really successful with and have done is we're working with each other, and we're able to tie that into real world. That when you all go to Tallahassee, I hope you can use Sean's flyer to encourage some of that recurring funding. That's the kind of thing they're learning about. We're doing a faculty lecture series.
Sean with us.
Yeah, hey, he's going. We just hosted Professor Phil Travis in the back for an exploratory meeting with the same group that worked on the flyer for recurring funding. So we do a lot of that. We haven't dove into the business as much, but I think we can. Sure.
That was a great report. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
That was a wonderful presentation, and the work that you did on, they took, if you, she didn't say it behind the scenes, she could have said if we took, you know, amateur work like what President Gregory gave us.
Did you give her stick figures?
Did you give her stick figures? Part of the curriculum.
But it illustrates so much, you know, this presentation and what led to it. It also illustrates your passion for your students. It was in a discussion in my office when I was talking to her about going to the legislature, and I showed her the PowerPoint chart that I think all of you have seen, and she just asked questions, including, can I get our students to work on that? It would be a great project for them. So that's her always thinking about her students, and then it was a true joy for me to have the opportunity to go and sit there and answer questions. And really, they've already seen it, by the way, the legislators have already seen that flyer, and yes, we will be looking at it and using it some more. Hopefully that will pay dividends in terms of recurring dollars in the near future. So thank you again. Both of you, I want to give both of you a coin while we've got you here. Okay, thank you for your work on the project.
Thank you.
Thank you for those comments, President Gregory. Next is the approval of non-financial consent agenda items. Trustees, are there any that need to be pulled ahead of time?
E.
Any others? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the non-financial consent agenda items excluding E?
Second.
And we have a second. Any other comments? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Carries unanimous. Let's go ahead and look at Exhibit E. Trustee Gibson.
Let me refer you to page 17, the last three items on that list of deleted courses. Just for my own sake, these are pre-college math subject matters. First of all, are these enrolled students that were taking these classes? Or are these non-enrolled students that are taking them to be able to enroll in school?
These are developmental education courses that were removed from the state system. The curriculum is no longer relevant because other courses have replaced them.
I want to understand what we're saying here. Mm-hmm. If we enroll a student and they have straight A's in English, but are lacking in mathematics somehow, do we give them courses to catch up with as enrolled students?
Yes.
Okay. And we still have that after I pass this E.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Do we have similar courses for English or history or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Yes.
So we take a student and we can give them the needed education to catch up. I assume that's for no credit. Catch up, and then they're on the way. Brittany, you want to say something?
Yes and no. There are remedial types of courses that would not go towards college credits if they are placed into those. Most of them are college-ready courses that they are earning credits for, and we have those equivalencies outside of the list you're seeing here.
Okay. Thank you. That's my question.
Yep.
We have a motion to approve Exhibit E on the non-financial consent agenda.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Any other comment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
That passes unanimous. Next is our approval of financial consent agenda items. Is there any trustee would like to have an item pulled? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion to approve as submitted?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any other comment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Carries unanimous. Exhibit R is for information only. Mr. Wellman, you're up.
So this will be quick. So we have roughly 65 buildings, just under a million square feet. And how are we doing operating, how's our performance operating those buildings and maintaining those buildings? If you look on page 40, you're going to have an excellent performance indicator. So each year we have to, per SREF and per Florida Administrative Third, a consortium brings in a third-party inspector, and they walk every square foot of every building on each campus and evaluate our certification of our fire sprinklers, fire detection, our emergency lights, our exit lights, our egress corridors, are we storing flammables under stairwells, are we stacking boxes within 14 inches of a fire sprinkler, and scrutinize the heck out of us. That's the report. We have zero minor deficiencies, zero major deficiencies in every single building. If you talk to the inspectors, do they hit the other 27 state colleges? They'll tell you we are in the absolute top tier of our peers for the other state colleges. It doesn't happen by accident. It's by our facility group doing their inspections, monthly inspections, our preventive maintenance program. And it's also the campus community as a whole. So that person at that desk can't put a box and block an aisle away. Don't put an extension cord in. You know how it goes and quickly get out of hand with 600 employees and have no findings. It tells tales there. So very proud of just facilities and the college as a whole for getting that report. If you look at the funding that the facilities group gets and compare it to the other 27 state colleges, we are dead right in the middle. We are about an average. If you look at the service levels we're providing, it's definitely top 10%. And so we're taking every dollar we get and maximizing every bit we can get out of it to provide the best services we can. And that, of course, is just one indicator there. So I didn't want that one just to kind of slide by on this report, because that's a big deal, and especially for our team. So
that's great.
Can I answer any questions on that report?
How long did it take them to tour around a million
cities? They can get through it. Yeah. They can get through it in a week.
I'm sorry?
They can get through it in a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Do they look at any other safety other than physical safety, like
it is all facility
it's all
related,
facility.
NFPA, Florida Building Code.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all related to building.
Chris, I know I speak for all the trustees. We really appreciate your stewardship of the college assets. You did a fantastic job.
Great job.
Let me say one comment, one more thing about Chris. I spent hours down there with him when I first was assigned here to that liaison with Raymond. Chris has a computer system down there, is second to none. And every piece of equipment that goes into any of these buildings is logged in. It's how long it's expected to exist, maintenance records, what we're supposed to do on certain days. And the thing pops up every morning and it says AC number 7 and building number 10 is going to need a new belt in 36 days or something like that. Well, this helps him keep up with what's going on with all the equipment. And he has a young man that's just incredible with this computer system. And that's all because of that gentleman back there bringing that to this campus. And he does a wonderful job in that maintenance area for him. Thank you.
Well noted. Item number 10, Mr. Crowdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This rule is here for its first appearance. We're not acting on this rule today. This is basically a cleanup of this rule. In the first paragraph of the rule, what we're doing is we're clarifying that hires are approved by the president and reported to the board. In the second paragraph, we're trying not to repeat the laundry list of protected classes that are out there, and we're referring to the college's rule that sets forth what those are. This one, in fact, is a little bit behind, so rather than just catching it up and then having to add the next protected class, class, we're just going to refer to the college's major non-discrimination rule for that list. Again, it'll be back for your action next month.
Great. Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Brown? All right. Hearing none. President Gregory, midterm goal report.
Thank you, sir. Let me pile on the Chris Wellman appreciation by saying I've never seen a fire inspection report for really a facility of any size, much less one with as many buildings across three campuses, come back with zero discrepancies. I've just never seen that before in my life. That's like a NASA level quality, zero tolerance for any errors at all. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's like the restaurant getting that 100% grade.
Right.
Hardly ever happened.
That's right. So, big job. Great work. I will say you've got your midterm goal report in front of you. We are on track for meeting or exceeding all goals that you set out for us at the beginning of the year. And before you know it, the clock keeps ticking. We'll be talking about next year's goals for the college. And I'll say that as a team, we are looking at what we should really be focused on for future. So more to follow, but I would say for future year goals, you may see us try to focus a lot more on enrollment, persistence, and graduation, and how every division, every section of the college feeds into those goals. But we're on track for the ones that you have before you, and I'm happy to talk either now or offline if you have any questions about it.
Any questions, President Gregory? SCF Foundation update, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you. For the fundraising year, which kicked off October the 1st, we're at $1.5 million and in fundraising achievement. That includes our individuals, foundations, as well as businesses and corporations. We are having an inauguration, if you haven't heard, on February the 7th, which is Friday. The foundation is
a week from Friday,
yes. We're in the two-week countdown. And so currently we're for the dinner, we're at 371 attendees. And for the ceremony, we're around that 550 person. We do expect that to increase as those that maybe RSVP'd late. We would encourage everyone to attend the ceremony at 2:00. The fun thing about the 371 people that are attending the dinner, 85% of them are new. So that means they have never, ever, ever been on State College of Florida's campus before. So we want them to see when you attend, because I expect all of you to be there, or you have been accounted for, and they'll all have name tags. We want to be known as the friendliest campus out of the great 28. And with everyone with those name tags, you will surely know a lot of those names. But it'll be really quick for you to meet them, make sure that they are welcomed handsomely, and we expect it to be a great, great day as we have a historical event welcoming our seventh president and his tenure here at State College of Florida. And so after that, we will have the April the 5th, we'll kick off our Evening Under the Stars on our Venice campus. The theme is So Happy Together, and the Pops Orchestra and fireworks will be the feature. And we hope that you're all able to come to that as well. So thank you for your support, and you've seen the back of the invitation with sponsorships. We've had great community support for the inauguration event, and I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cassandra. Any questions for Cassandra? Do you have any old business before the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to new business. And I have two questions, and I started to ask them individually, but I thought it might be good for all the trustees. I'm just curious.
Well, Kelly, this is, you were really directed your way. I'm trying to understand how they're used, because I'm thinking...
That's for the articulation.
Right. I'm thinking, well, most kids aren't taking the SAT and ACT in 10th grade.
They normally at our school take the first and 10th grade, sorry, they'll take the first and 10th grade, they take the SAT and 10th grade.
Okay.
But normally we focus on the first, the first, second, or the other, and that's the college.
Okay.
And then should, the super score, so should they need an ACT score or an SAT score sometimes, they can take a couple of different tests for the CLC now, which I don't find out into that criteria of what they need to do. But that's for every UNL student.
Okay.
Not just, not just for us.
And so if they're in a collegiate school, let's say grades 9 and 10, and then they don't really meet these grading requirements, what do they do?
We counsel with them and their families for 9th and 10th grade and help them find it.
Got it, okay. And the other question is, do we have dual enrollment in Braden Christian?
That is a question.
Okay.
Help you find it.
Okay, all right, great. All right. All right, board comments. We'll start your way since...
Finally, I don't have to go last anymore.
No, you can go first. Yeah, right.
You may want me to go last.
No, you go first, so that way, you know, we can copy your ideas.
I don't know, you might not want that. But first of all, thanks, Chris. What a great presentation. And Brenda, this is the first time I've actually been introduced to that particular program, department, since my 1 or 3 years here. So I really appreciate that. I had no idea, zero idea. That was really cool. And I did recognize some of that stuff up there, so that was wonderful. And I don't know, Mr. President and Dr. Crowdy, if we're allowed to talk about things regarding, we've been told in the past, union and things like that. You know, that's kind of a thing. But since we don't get a chance to ever talk together, you know, we're not allowed to a certain degree, Ms. President, is there ever any sort of internal workshops that we as trustees can do that's subject to that particular financial situation regarding? Because I'm still not clear on restricted versus unrestricted funds. I'm just being honest. I've been here a while, and I still haven't gotten a straight answer on what all, I mean, I know some of it, the basic structure, but I can't speak for the rest of the board members, and to them, maybe it's science, but to me, it's still a foreign language. And you know, the obvious answers come up to me like, you know, why are the colleges that are St. Pete and Hillsborough and others way ahead of us in legislative funding? Was that just we had a bad legislative team, you know, in the past, now we have a great one, you know, or what led up to those circumstances and why are we behind, and was it our efforts internally that we were behind? Or are there things that maybe we can do as a board through our own talent or financial, you know, information that we can share that might bring more, I don't know, light, because we can't talk about it, you know, all the time. So, I don't know, I'm just asking, is there a workshop? I'm not saying we do it, I'm just, is there an opportunity to talk about some of these things that are internal struggles? And the other thing is, are we allowed, because I know the invitation from their folks have been, come to their meetings, and I don't know if that's frowned upon, or we can do that, like, I don't know. So I'm just asking these questions to put it out in the light.
Well, let's talk about the finance piece first and the different funds, and it is confusing. You know, government accounting is a science all among itself, but I think what we'll do is Julie has put together several training packets for us as, you know, as a cabinet running the college, and we'll have her bring those here and present them. It's so lengthy that maybe we'll do it one fund number at a time, funds 1 through 9. But we'll defer to Julie and how she wants to package that. But we can do that right here.
Okay.
You know, we just have to bite it off in smaller chunks, and that way it'll be in the sunshine, and it'll be open to everyone. We don't have to worry about running afoul of any rules. But, yeah, that's a very standard response. It's complex. Can you explain it to me? Julie, I've probably asked her to explain it to me 10 times these first 6 months. So we'll do that. The second question was regarding...
Why are we behind?
Why are we behind? I would say, if I had to sum it up, I would say there's a lot of politics in politics.
I think Dr. Hertzfeld at one point presented us the timeline of growth, and she showed us whenever a Senate president, how much their state college in the area got from one year to the next. It was really fascinating.
It's directly linear. You know, when you have somebody in the right leadership position, whether that's chair of appropriations, speaker of the House, president of the Senate, it's only natural that they're going to fight for the people that they represent. And we've had, you know, people from our delegation in the right positions and then had bad timing. You know, we've had, you know, we might have a Senate president or a speaker here locally, and then we have COVID and all the budget items get cut. Luckily, I think we're well positioned over the next few years in terms of where our delegation members sit in the House and the Senate. So cross our fingers, you know, knock on wood, hope that we're not a victim of a natural disaster that sucks all the money out of the Florida budget or some other issue. But it is about timing and position of your delegation members. So we'll keep working on it and crossing our fingers at the same time. But we can get there. We can get there. We have a good story to tell, and with, you know, Brenda and her class and Sean and the work he did, we have a good way to tell.
No, we have to get there because, you know, people are making sacrifices for students, and that's our breadwinner is our students. So we have to win.
Have you been to Tallahassee? I've never been. I haven't been invited.
Okay.
I think, well, I mean...
I actually have been to Tallahassee on another board, on the board employee leasing. I was there, but...
Yeah, I was going to say...
A little different lobbying, but...
And,
I'm sure it is.
We take two board members usually.
We will send out an invitation. Susan will send out the dates that I'm planning on going. Members, you're welcome to join me on any of those trips. You also don't have to go to Tallahassee, of course, to meet your delegation. You can reach out to your representatives and senators with or without me at the moment of your choosing and their availability. But I'm happy to set those meetings. Our delegation are huge advocates for us, so they know them locally.
We're friends with all of them, right? We get it. You know,
and they've been given the data. They've seen it. They've heard it from my voice to their ears. I've shown them the pieces of paper, how badly we've been treated.
They can tell us.
So it's a question of getting the job done.
Yeah, I just think Ms. Bailey's going to be up here every month, every meeting, every month now. And so I just get so used to, like, I know her address by heart.
Wouldn't have missed that.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Groundhog Day.
Trustee Collins.
Great presentation. Goodness. I appreciate the facilities. That would be incredibly impressive to me, is that we got zero, which makes me wonder. Like, how often that really happens. So bravo to you guys. Also wanted to encourage y'all to consider the summer camps as, you know, for those with young ones, grandkids. I just was doing the research for the summer camps, and we've announced, is it new that we've extended it to 4 o'clock as opposed to 1? Because I appreciate that. So my son is already super excited.
Domenico, any comments?
Yes, great presentations, by the way. Learned a lot. Thank you for, I'm a recovering accountant, and I really enjoy comparisons and numbers, and I will check out their evergreen report. And sometimes narratives help, too, is who we're competing with on talent. It shouldn't be our local high schools. And I look at the numbers and how the state has this model structured, and I have some concerns, honestly. I'm looking at the adjusted budget, and the state support went down some 1.7 million, and I see our student fees are staying pretty static. We only have a few levers to pull. So the state either allows us to run our budgets with their help, or they have to fund us properly to keep this a viable entity. So I would really be glad to keep this on the front burner.
Well noted. Thank you. Trustee Goodson.
I don't have anything substantive to add to any of this conversation, but we as a board really need to dig in deep into this situation with the salaries. We can't spend money we don't have. But we need to know exactly where we stand and what monies we can move around, what we can't move around, et cetera. I'll be very honest with you. It's very difficult to be in the sunshine with these wonderful people here and call spades a spade and yell and scream like sometimes we need to do. But we need to have a work session that we can talk to each other about getting some of these things done and behind us. I highly recommend that we find time in our schedules to get something like that accomplished somewhere. The issue I talked to you about, President, a few hours ago, you know, on a financial standpoint, we do pretty good with schools, high schools, do very good. Upper division, lower division has always been a challenge. We are paid per student, federally, statewide, and locally, by number of students, kids in the classes. We've been stagnant or pretty stagnant over the last few years. Brittany has done a fantastic job, and I'm so impressed with what she accomplishes. But if there's any place that we need to expand, it'd be that area. And if there's something this board can ever do to help in that regard, we need to accomplish that. You know, the state's paying 70% of the tab, the students are paying 30% or less of the tab. I'll give it back to you if you want to comment on it. But this is an area where we need to gather information and see what we can do. We need more students. And we need to retain those students from year to year. It's no good to spend a bunch of money with Brittany bringing them in for 1 year and they don't show up the next year. We need to keep them for at least 2 years, and we certainly want them to go to get their baccalaureate here because we really make money there. So, you know, retention is a big deal. Now, I don't know what a board does for retention. You know, I can't go talk to the kids. I mean, I'm happy to. But, I mean, these are areas in which we need to have good, thoughtful discussions about and see if we can do things to help in that regard. That's money that's leaving us that needs to stay here. We do a fantastic job of educating our young people. We need them also to graduate, though. I need them, you know, they need a cap on their heads. We need them to stay in us. I don't mind them, you know, after 2 years to go off the university system. That's what it's all about. But we need them here for 2 years, and we're not doing a very good job of that.
Can we track why they leave after 1 year? I mean, because, like, you don't have to stay here for 2 years in order to then apply to FSU or USF, or you can leave after. I mean, I took 3 classes here, and, in between FSU, so... Do we track where an issue?
We try to capture that to the best of our ability. We can see it from the clearinghouse when they transfer. Now, if they just don't come back, it's on us to capture that through our stop outs.
Do we know
so
the percentage?
We have 2 stop out programs that we're running right now. One with LEAP Tampa Bay, which is a partnership with our LCANs, which is Planet Sarasota and Reach Manatee, both Manatee and Sarasota County, along with some of our foundations. That has been a list of over 500 students that have been an outreach to that have not returned in the last year. So they may have come for a semester, they may have come for a year, and they didn't come back to re-enroll. Number one report out from that is financial reasons or medical health type of reasons. They couldn't afford it from the financial side. The other piece is that it was a family member, someone else, themselves, that prevented them from returning. Of the first program we started with Leap Tampa Bay, we've had 26 return from that outreach program. We just started another one with an organization called Re-Up, who are doing the same fact-finding for us to reach out to those students to say, you haven't enrolled in the next semester. What's preventing you from enrolling, and or what can we do to assist you in that?
So is a large percentage, sorry to dive into this, but you got my brain thinking, Mark. Is it a larger percentage leaving for medical reasons or for transfers? Which one has the largest percentage?
So we're going to see the majority of our students go through transfer. So they are leaving earlier, they're going, which is determined on my side successful.
Yeah.
We are getting them going towards our goal.
Right.
The other can be financial, and that is truly around, I can't afford rent, transportation, I don't have a vehicle, and or I'm taking care of family members already. Even though the cost is so low, it may be the time off of work in order to support a family, in order to finish a degree.
I feel like we're in this perfect storm where we're having faculty say they're not paid enough, but then students say it's too expensive. So where's the middle ground?
Well,
I feel like we're trying to ride that line.
And there can be some other things, right, Trustee Cullen? So if they have financial burdens that they haven't spoke of, they may be unsuccessful in the classroom. Being unsuccessful in the classroom prevents them from returning for a period of time, so that we ensure that we are doing our due diligence not to just take their money without ensuring successful completion. So it could be a year that it takes for that student to come back because they didn't know about or they didn't utilize the resources, the vast amount of resources we do have available for our students.
I'm gonna ask Dr. Hale to give a presentation at the next board meeting. He's done a deep dive into this with all the departments. I don't want to steal too much of his thunder, but I'll just say we're averaging about a 78% retention semester over semester, year over year.
How does that compare to St. Pete?
I think we're just about equal with St. Pete. We're about average around the state colleges in terms of our retention and graduation rates, and he can help present that data. But I will say he's shown us some numbers, and the bottom line would be if we can move from 78 to 88, which is a big jump, but I think achievable, we would graduate an additional 400 students a year.
Yeah.
Which is student success, which is, of course, what we all want. And what was the impact per year in revenue for the college if we do that?
2 million. 2.2.
So that also helps us solve some other issues, which is why I said at the beginning, I think as we look at our goals going forward, we focus on that persistence, enrollment's going great, but focus on enrollment, of course. There's always room for improvement. And we get that ultimate goal of sending that diploma for those students. So next board meeting we'll talk about that, and we'll figure out what we would truly how to present training. I know we do it every year, but we got to do it all the time because it's complex. So.
I think the value isn't always just the graduates. I know that's kind of what we're being most opaque on oftentimes. But I mean, I came back here over the summer so I can work internships. I took my business statistics here. I passed.
Thank God.
And my macroeconomics. But it allowed me to work and to get my, for less cost. And that was a huge value to me, to have that work experience so young. Still ended up working with my parents. I just don't want to forget that the value is not just in the graduates, even though I know that's what this is paid on, but it's also the fact that we are so affordable, and at least try to be for even the ones you do need.
Thank you. We'll have your transcript pulled.
No, we will not.
Can we
select?
Out of curiosity, is that even archived?
You don't know my maiden name.
No. If I want to look at my grades, could I do that? From 1989?
Yes.
Everybody's supposed
to. Oh, gosh.
And we hear you. So we know that, yes, when you're teaching public speaking, you're probably using the
eyes are still like jello. You have to put on a good act.
So were we all sitting in underwear? Was that how you were getting
out? No.
Appreciate it. Thank you. With that, we are adjourned at 6:45.